5. Are we all set?
Or is it Memorex?
Call to order the Senate Committee on Rules. Today I will be chairing. And actually, I call to order a subcommittee until we get everyone else here. Let's open a public hearing on HCR 11.
Mr. Chairman, HCR 11 memorializes former State Representative and U.S. Representative John R. Dellenbach.
Perfect. We have a sign-up sheet for you. I believe Mannheim is the first person. If you'd like to do that.
Well, we'll wait until we see the sign-up to see exactly who's first.
You want to be careful about what order you
call Mannheim, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee. I'm Nan Heim, and I'm here today as a former employee of Congressman John Dellenbach, and I thank you for hearing this resolution to memorialize him. John Dellenbach was born and raised in Chicago and moved to Oregon as a young man to raise his family and practice law in Medford. He was elected to the Oregon House in 1960 and served three terms, and throughout his life loved to talk about how much better the Oregon legislative system worked than Congress works. He was elected to the U.S. House in 1966, representing what was then the 4th Congressional District, the 6 southwestern counties of Oregon, a very diverse district, and he represented it for 4 terms, and I worked for him throughout those 4 terms in Washington, D.C. He was involved in many legislative efforts, but is perhaps best known for the establishment of the Oregon Dunes National Recreation Area on the coast. Congressman Dellenbach lost his re-election to a 5th term in November of 1974, which, if you're a student of political history, you know that many Republicans, members of Congress, lost that fall on the heels of Ford's pardon of Nixon. But his public service career was far from over. President Ford named him to be director of the Peace Corps, and he served in that position throughout the Ford administration, after which he became president of the Christian College Consortium, which was a wonderful job for him because of his interest in education and his deep faith, which was very important to him. He was a wonderful boss. His whole family was here for the House consideration of this resolution. I've been trying to think of something that summed up who he was as a person, because he tried so hard to make a difference in small ways as well as in large ways. And the other day I ran into former State Representative Bill Markham, who remembered visiting our office in D.C. in about 1970. And he was struck by the fact that we had minority staff members. And he said none of the other offices he visited or saw did. And I was startled for a moment to think that that was any sort of a big deal that anyone would notice. And then I remembered that, in fact, it had been, and that John Dellenbach had made a major effort to hire minorities. About half our staff was from Oregon, and the rest of us were from Washington, D.C. In fact, I had never set foot in Oregon until I went to work for him. And he did make a major effort calling the employment office and saying he wished to interview minorities, and hired several for our staff. And Bill Markham said, you know, Nan, I think that story represents the kind of person that John Dellenbach was. And I agree. And I appreciate very much your consideration of this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the committee?
Mr. Vice Chair, I guess.
Recognize Senator Burdick.
just an observation. If you look at the former staff people that Congressman Dellenbach accumulated, and our present witness being just a star example, we just had a wonderful caliber of people who have contributed mightily to Oregon politics and business and other endeavors. In fact, after we're done grilling this witness, I have a statement I'd like to read from three of them.
Thank you
very much. Would you like to read that statement now?
We're grilling her?
That was a joke.
Senator, we have one more witness. Would you like to hear from that witness or read your statement now?
Oh, no, let's hear from the people who are here.
Come on up.
Really?
Ladies and gentlemen of the committee, I'm Tom Bessonette. In 1964, I had the thrill of being elected to the Oregon legislature from Baker and Grant counties. John Dellenbach was in the 1965 legislature, and I was a member of that body also. I was in the Agriculture Committee, and a bill was coming out of the committee, and I didn't like it, but I couldn't figure out what was wrong with it, so I voted no. When the bill got to the floor, I had determined what was wrong with the bill, and so during the discussion, I moved to refer it back to committee, and I succeeded in referring it back to committee. I received a note from then John Dellenbach, and it said, "Tom, the bill would have passed 59-1 if you had not spoken up. Now you have the responsibility of seeing to it that the bill is properly amended and brought back to the floor." And I thought to myself, what a fantastic learning experience that it was for me as a freshman who, on my first floor fight, won, but then had a veteran telling me that I had a responsibility to the body. And that was the type of an individual he was. I also know that he was a golden throat of the Oregon legislature, and that he waxed eloquently many, many times. And one time we had a proposed constitutional amendment. I don't remember what it was about, but it was major and it was controversial. And our count was 39 votes, and he needed the 40. And they asked him whether or not he wanted to carry the bill. And he said, "Yes, I want to go ahead and carry the constitutional amendment and see if I can get it passed." Well, we didn't have a time limit in those days to speak. And so after about 20 minutes, he started talking about one of the names up on the ceiling of the House chapel, or House ceiling. And then he was talking about what would that individual think about if he was listening to this debate. And when we counted the votes on the roll call, it was 41 ayes. Then somebody, after the announcement that it had passed, somebody asked him, "What was that individual famous for?" And John said, "I haven't the slightest idea." That's why I call him the golden voice of the legislature. One of the little aspects that was not included in this dossier of him was the fact that he was a very religious man. And as a result of that, he was on the Supreme Court of the Presbyterian Church for the United States. So any of those cases that ever went to the higher charges of the Presbyterian Church, he sat in judgment of them because he was so well liked by everybody. And I consider it a real honor and privilege to have served with John Dellenbach. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I was in the bookstore earlier this afternoon, and they have a fresh copy of the Oregon Book of Names that describes who everyone was. So that's available. Questions? Thank you very much. We will now reopen, close the subcommittee and open a full committee as we hear HCR 11, Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I'm sorry, I almost rushed to judgment. For the record, I am...
Don't you rush for anything.
Jenny Burdick is my name tag, says. I guess I don't have to introduce myself.
Is there a name tag?
If I'm sitting up here, oh. I don't know where it's right there. It says verdict on the back.
What's it in for?
This is, I would like to read into the state, into the record, a statement from David Foote from Washington, D.C., Cheryl Perrin from Portland, and Don Powell from Portland, who are former staffers for the for Congressman Gellenbach. In the late 1960s and early 1970s, we were district office staff for Congressman John Gellenbach, a unique district for those years. The 4th District included Ashland, Medford, Grants Pass, Coos Bay, Brookings, Cave Junction, Roseburg, and Eugene. The words diverse, challenging, provocative, even wacky might have applied. Certainly. Our boss, Congressman Gellenbach, represented all with deep concern, fondness, and pride, and incredible dedication. To be fair, it must be noted that he also had incredible patience, not just with his constituents, but with his staff. Imagine in a single weekend traveling from Eugene to Roseburg, passing through Springfield, Cresswell, Cottage Grove, and London on the way, meeting and talking with constituents about the Forest Service, the ONC lands, and the war in Vietnam. From Roseburg to Coos Bay with scheduled stops in Riddle and Drain, talking about the same issues with sustainable timber yield measures thrown in. On down to Grants Pass and Wolf Creek, where the environment took on a different tone, and finally to Medford, his home. The trip would not end, though, until serious discussions had taken place about the desperately needed funding for the fledgling Shakespeare Theater. The growing crisis in Vietnam was a constant drumbeat with issues with hawks and doves clearly visible at every stop. During his tenure, the USS Pueblo was seized by the North Koreans, and one of his young constituents, Duane Hodges of Creswell, was killed. Congressman Gellenbach pledged to protect the beautiful and scenic Oregon dunes, and he did, authoring the Dunes National Recreation Act that was signed by President Nixon. The Oregon dunes stand today untouched by rampant development. We were all touched by this warm and caring political leader. To us, he was a mentor, a friend, at times a counselor and mediator when we couldn't get along. He took pride in his staff, and we are proud to have been a part of his congressional staff. We are pleased that the Oregon legislature is honoring John R. Gellenbach, Congressman John R. Gellenbach. Thank you for your recognition. Signed, David Foote of Washington, D.C., Cheryl Perrin of Portland, Oregon, and Don Powell of Portland, Oregon.
Thank you. Questions for Senator Burdick? Is there anyone here else that would like to testify on HCR 11? Come on up. Yes. Please state your name for the record.
Bob Peet from Wilsonville, Chairman Atkinson, and committee members. I couldn't let the opportunity pass with the fine comments that are here. I was a high school student in Phoenix High School in 1968 when Congressman Gellenbach represented the 4th District, and he invited me and three other students to fly back to Washington, D.C. for a week, and we were guests of his home. And he, in addition to all that's been described already, he took us all around Washington, D.C. He took us to chapel at Annapolis. He took us to the Naval Observatory. We visited a middle school in Washington, D.C. He introduced us to Gerald Ford, Speaker John McCormick. He just was nonstop in his interest in helping us in Oregon learn more about how our country operated, and I can only say that I was quite impressionable at that age, and he set such a fine example of what our country is and just what in fact is capable of being done, that it stayed with me till today, and I hope all my life. So anyway, he's a very fine individual and served his country very well, and he has an extremely fine family, and they're very hospitable and generous and just very gracious people, and I can only say thank you very much to him.
Thank you for coming all the way down and testifying. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. If I could just ask a question, what are you doing today?
I studied history when I was in college, mm-hmm. and I teach school. I spent some time in the computer industry, and I just have I serve as a volunteer tour guide out at Fort Vancouver at the National Historic Site, and I guess I've just always had an interest in the story of how we inhabit the earth and what we've been able to do in the time we've had here. So, I teach school.
Yep. Okay. Case closed.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, Anderson, members of the committee, I'm Jim Wittenberg. I'm a retired pharmacist from Portland, and I wasn't always a liberal Democrat. In 1968, I was a member of the Young Republican Honor Guard, and at that time we flew to Miami Beach, Florida, and John Dellenbach was on that plane. I'd never met him before, but as a young person, it was a little intimidating to go into that large area and not know anyone and stay in a hotel with all these Republicans, who people like Mr. Hatfield and Tom McCall and a few of those folks. And John Dellenbach took us under his wing, took me and another young Republican under his wing, and he took us from the airport to the hotel, helped us check into the hotel, made sure we had someone to eat with at the different functions that we had, made sure we had a way to get down to the convention center. And I had great admiration for him and his family. He took two of his children, maybe three at that time. It's been a number of years ago. And I've always admired the man, and later, when I moved to Washington, D.C., and was working there as a pharmacist and as a lobbyist at that time, one of the times, at the time when I decided that I no longer could be a Republican and I was really leaving that part of my life, John Dellenbach was willing to take me under his wing again and counsel me and tell me that I had to follow my heart where I was, and that led me away. I admired the man. I missed him just by a few days in 2000 down in Medford. I'm a Presbyterian also, and I was attending church, and he was away that week to the summer. They go away for a month or so back to the Midwest somewhere for a vacation, and I've always been sad that I missed him because he died not too long after that. He's just a fine man, and he's a person that led me into exploring politics. Was taken like somewhat 34 years of my life, and he's the kind of man that you can be proud of, like the McCalls and the Hatfields and those folks that were in that liberal wing of the party years ago. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much. Anyone else would like to testify? We will close public hearing on HCR 11 and open a work session on HCR 11.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Burdick.
I move HCR 11 to the floor with a do adopt recommendation.
Senator Burdick has moved HCR 11 with a do adopt recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Motion carries. Close the public hearing or the work session on HCR 11.
I wanted to add one thing. First of all, I understand that Senator Hannon would like to carry this, so we can put him as a carrier with your agreement.
Yes.
On that. It's come to my attention there may be an error on the date of Mr. Dellenbach's birth here. It's in the summary, so it's not in the resolution itself, so it doesn't need any correction or amendment, but we thought when it gets enrolled, we'll seek to have the correct date put on there. I understand 1917 should say 1918. We'll have to do some investigation on that and be sure.
Okay. I get a good librarian. Now they should know this stuff.
The librarian nodded.
We will now move to executive appointments. Mr. Stembridge.
Members, you have a list of several executive appointments for your consideration today. They're on the agenda. We understand that there have been requests to hold two of the commissions over. One would be the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. Another would be the State Parks and Recreation Commission. In the packet that you have a legislative summary that we did that describes the statutory qualifications for appointment, some of the duties and authority, and tries to place for you the appointment in amongst the other appointments that have been confirmed previously. We also have a web page that describes the particular board or commission and a information that comes from the governor that also lists the appointees and then information on each individual appointee. What we propose to do here is to read a brief summary on each of them in order, and then it would be in order to take a motion on each individual board. That's the way I propose to do it. So I'd start out with the Apprenticeship and Training Council, and then go to the Construction Contractors Board, if you'd like me to do it that way.
Proceed.
Mike McFaul is the governor's appointee to the Apprenticeship and Training Council. He's a new appointee, a German meterman employed by Portland General Electric for over 30 years, having entered the field through apprenticeship. He fills a slot designated for employees from apprenticeable crafts or trades. He has experience with PGEIBEW Apprenticeship Committee and chair of that committee beginning in September of 2000.
So, Jim, you'd like us to, we can't go in block all of them?
I'm told by the Secretary of the Senate that it would be in order for you to go in block on each commission, so this one would not be in block. But.
All right, so we will open a work session on the executive appointment of the State Apprenticeship and Training Council. Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Burdick.
I move we recommend the Senate confirm the appointment of Michael McFaul to the State Apprenticeship and Training Council.
We can do these all together. That was ridiculous.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Corcoran, you can do things.
You can read
any
the board and
like,
read the person, exactly. I mean, but let him bring his bios and then let's just do it afterwards and do it in one motion.
Why don't you pull back that motion?
No. It's a good motion. I'm sticking with it.
All right. We have a motion.
Judy?
We have a motion on the table. Is there any objections to the motion?
We'll block the rest of them.
So ordered. Senator.
Do you have a carrier also for each of these, or how do you want to do
that? Senator Burdick's going to carry it out. We will open a work session on the Construction Contractors Board, Employment Relations Board, State Board of Higher Ed, Board of Medical Examiners, and Physical Therapist Licensing Board. We're sorry, Judy.
Mr. Chairman, I'll go down through these. Construction Contractors Board, you have two appointees. Sandra Trainer is a new appointment, Operations Manager of the Highway Construction Company. She has worked supervising includes civil construction, asphalt paving, and asphalt grinding. She fills a non-residential specialty contractor position on the board. She has 25 years of experience in construction finance, real estate development, other aspects of building construction. Walt Gamble is the second appointee for the Construction Contractors Board. This is a reappointment. Mr. Gamble has 30 years' experience in all facets of design and construction. As an independent consultant, he has participated in commercial construction, heavy civil, transportation, and utility projects. Mr. Gamble fills one of two slots for large commercial general contractors on the Construction Contractors Board. For the Employment Relations Board, you have Paul Gamson. This is a new appointment, fills a representative labor position on the board. Mr. Gamson is an attorney with a Portland law firm, has several union clients. For more than 10 years, a partner in law firms with frequently changing names. Those are listed in the application materials. He has a law degree from Lewis and Clark with undergraduate work at Southern Oregon University. I wanted to make a special note on Mr. Gamson. The governor is requesting appointment and confirmation effective June 30th, 2003, rather than the date that we've had on some earlier documents. I think you have a document in your packet today that shows the June 30th, 2003 date for Mr. Gamson Employment Relations Board.
Mine says 3003.
Well, that's another correction that needed to be made. That was not the governor's change. So that was a change from your staff.
So that's not lifetime.
That was when he was going to start, I think. So you'd have a lifetime to wait. No, the correct date would be June 30th, 2003 for the starting date for Mr. Gamson. Two appointees for the State Board of Higher Education are student positions. These are two-year positions. And I wanted to note that the positions for the State Board of Higher Education are called directors, so they're all directors. Bridget Burns is a new appointment, filling one of two higher education student positions, a political science major at Oregon State University in Corvallis. Bridget Burns is, until recently, was the OSU student body president. These positions change in May, so she was student body president until May. She's the national chair of the State Student Association Alliance organization dedicated to development of student associations nationally. She's also formerly the student body vice president at North Idaho College. And if you have not read the appointee's letter in the file, I would urge you to do so. Some of the application materials have letters and statements of interest. Others are just descriptions of the person's background. This Bridget Burns included a letter that you might want to read. Rachel Pilliod is a new appointment, filling one of two higher education student positions. She is a political science and journal science major at the University of Oregon in Eugene, the University of Oregon student body president, active in the United States Student Association, a graduate of Thurston High School in Springfield. For the Board of Medical Examiners, you have Suresh Bald. Suresh Bald is a reappointment, fills a public member slot on the Board of Medical Examiners. She's a Willamette University professor of politics since 1991. She has bachelor's and master's degrees from Delhi University in Delhi, India, and a PhD in government from Harvard University. She has a long list of research and publications, which you also might wish to look through. We have two appointees for the Physical Therapist Licensing Board. They are Joanna Friedman. That's a new appointment. She is a licensed physical therapist, Portland resident, now active in practice in Vancouver, Washington. 19 years in the practice of physical therapy in a wide variety of clinical settings, including acute care, outpatient orthopedics, and long-term care. The other appointee for the Physical Therapist Licensing Board is Jerry Nickel. That's a reappointment. He is a licensed physical therapist in active practice in Baker City, has been since 1986, has a master's degree in management as well, 18 years experience in three states, a strong interest in wellness, preventative care, and of particular interest to me and maybe some members of the committee here, particular interest in geriatric care.
No, Senator Burdick is, Mr. Chair.
Jim, did you say that Joanne Friedman has a practice that's not in Oregon?
She has been in Oregon, active in practice in Oregon until February. You'll find in the information there, she's just recently taken a job across the river. She's an Oregon resident, and she is licensed in Oregon.
Does that strike you as odd?
Listen, you're the senator from the state of Jefferson, and you're asking me if this strikes me as odd?
I am.
No.
Well, you have it there from Cottage Grove. Jim, sir, she doesn't. We can move, we can block.
You can do what. You're the chair.
Hold on.
Chairman, would you like a motion?
I would like a motion then.
Okay, let me try this. I move that we recommend the Senate confirm en bloc the appointments of Sandra Traynor and Walt Gamble to the Construction Contractors Board, Paul Gamson to the Employment Relations Board, Bridget Burns and Rachel Pilliod to the State Board of Higher Education, Suresh Bald to the Board of Medical Examiners, Joanna Friedman and Jerry Nickel to the Physical Therapist Licensing Board.
You've heard the motion. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So moved.
And I will just point out to the chairman that if I carry these, I can add in the other one that I already moved.
Don't let her make her carry separate.
Well, Senator Corcoran is here. Senator Burdick, would you love to carry these? So ordered.
I will move it. Good for the order.
With no other business before the committee, the Senate Rules Committee is closed.
Four.